League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
Ryan Brecklin is back. He's an expert appraiser, and we're so fortunate that a few times a year, he will come on with us and look at your items. These are things that you found in your attic or was passed down by your great-great-grandmother, and you have no idea what they're worth. We're going to tell you what it's worth.
You know, we've had a lot of swings and misses over the years, but we've had some really big items, too. Like last year, we had an item that was worth $3 to $5 million.
Yeah, it was crazy. Find Ryan at goodbottleauctions.com and nesteggauctions.com. Ryan, more often than not, it's things that are not worth a lot of money. But what are we looking at now?
So this is a painting. This is a portrait from the 19th century, a.k.a. the 1800s. And M writes in and says it's by Daniel Ridgway Knight, who is a famous and big American artist. Think of these saccharine Victorian portraits of women smelling roses in a garden.
Lovely.
Like that. What it is, this particular one is a small portrait, maybe 5 inches by 6 inches. It's on barnwood, and they have a little handwritten note with the family provenance that says it's a portrait of this person, that it's painted by Daniel Ridgway Knight, and who inherited it, and you know how it passed down in the family. And that's wonderful, right? That's what you need with a piece of art that's been passed down in your family. Any provenance, any history. There's also some newspaper clippings about different things to do with the artist. And it's a great little package, right? It's beautiful and it's interesting, but it's not signed, which the provenance helps, but having it signed and knowing that it came from the artist's hand is really important to the value. Even better, and I know it sounds crazy, but they did write receipts and they did put down information from the artist on the back of paintings in the 1800s.
Right.
So the more you can get, the more history, the more proof of it being made, the more it's going to be worth. This artist, Daniel Ridgway Knight, has some pretty big records. On my first search, Sotheby's sold a painting for $570,000.
Wow.
A little one like this, or was it a big one?
It was a big one.
Okay.
It got bought by a major
gosh.
Institute.
Yeah.
Right. It hung. It was the only thing they were hanging on that wall.
Yes.
Let me ask you, because I'm sure you're going there anyways, were these little portraits, things that he did on this barnwood, was that something that he had done, was known to do?
All the big artists did it. You know, when you didn't have a commission for a giant masterpiece that's going to end up in a wealthy person's collection, you still had to eat. You still had to make money. So
yeah.
Artists painted all sizes of things. Artists went outside and painted the stream in their backyard. They went and they took commissions for portraits of someone in their neighborhood. So for sure, yes, this absolutely happened.
So what is this worth?
If you just go by a square inch formula and take a look at what things are bringing in the last few years with similar provenance and no signature, it's probably in the 500 to 700 range.
Okay. That's still not bad for a 5 by 6 inch little painting that you inherited.
But you gave away your only photo of your great, 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 great aunt.
Right.
Oh, what I meant to say was priceless. Sorry. That's your family.
Oh.
Right. Yes. And if you are collecting artist work right now, who would you suggest that you collect?
You guys know who Banksy is, right?
Oh, my God. Banksy is my favorite person in the whole world. I asked my nephew to please create me a Banksy. He's an artist. I'm like, make me like a replica of a Banksy. He hasn't yet.
You can go buy you can go buy a real Banksy.
Oh, for what, $20 million?
No.
He doesn't even sell them. You can't buy them.
Get one of those ones where you walk up to it and you look at it and it goes through a shredder.
Yeah.
There's absolutely entry-level Banksys.
For how much?
Under $50,000.
Oh, good. Good.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
Ryan Brecklin is an expert appraiser. You can find him online at nesteggauctions.com or goodbottleauctions.com. And he's been looking at all your items over the course of the last week and he's telling you what they're worth. You've been submitting them at annaandraven.com. What do you have today, Ryan?
So Paul is a repeat customer. Actually, we appraised some Coca-Cola items for him last time.
I remember. Okay.
And he sends in what is called a Graflex speed graphic camera.
Is this the guy who had the paper holders last year from Coca-Cola?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. I remember that. It was quite an item.
So this camera, I'm going to paint a little picture for you here. Imagine that you're getting your photograph taken for a newspaper in 1960, and the camera has the bellows, like the accordion bellows on it, and it's on a wooden tripod, and there's some guy with a press badge going, smile, you know?
And right, and then he ducks down in it,
similar to that. Yeah. It's called a plate camera. So you prepare the film into these plates, slide them into the back of the camera, take one shot, pull it out. Put another one in.
Okay.
They were very common. It was a working object, a tool, a camera that someone needed to take pictures and do business. So at the time, this was a high quality object that had a lot of good detail and cost a lot of money. Now they're more collectible. People do use them. The film is still available in some places if you know where to get it. And they produce photographs and do things that you can't do with a phone, you know?
Yeah.
They absolutely take different images. So there is still value and there are still collectors for them.
You know, Anna, if you wanted to find ghosts, not saying that this would be the camera for it, but it might be.
Okay.
This particular one is in fantastic condition. Case, you know, it's not dusty or broken. And I would put this one in the 400 to 600 range.
Okay. So what I find, we've been talking about this over the last few days, is when you go to the flea markets, a lot of times you see the old typewriters, you see the old cameras, you see the old phones, and they have some value.
But they gotta work.
But they're not the tremendous value that you would think for things like that.
Yeah. Think about it. Lots of cameras were made. Lots of photographs were taken.
Mm-hmm.
What sets an object like that apart, a common object apart now, is condition and presentation. This one's clean. You might even be able to put film in the back of this and take photographs right now. So as long as it's been kept well or restored or handled by someone who knows what they're doing, then the value goes up.
All right, I'm going to ask you one last question before we let you go. If you're collecting anything right now, anything, and I know this is a big, tough question for you because you collect it all. You
collect
everything,
right. Everything.
What do you think would be the thing that you should be trying to save money for and buying for your future?
If you're going long term, I tell everybody that they should hold some precious metals. They should hold some silver. They should hold some gold. If you rewind 10 years, 20 years, they always appreciate. And they're easy to liquidate and monetize. They trade anywhere in the world. It's a fantastic store of wealth, and it's a lot of fun.
So basically bars of gold, that's what you want.
Well, you could do coins. I mean,
bags of silver, right. That Spanish galleon, any of those things.
Well, Ryan, as always, we thank you so much for coming in. Remember, you can find Ryan at goodbottleauctions.com, nesteggauctions.com. And coming up Black Friday, I'm going to be doing my first for real auction ever with you. So thank you so much for having me. I hope I don't screw it up. I really, really hope I don't screw it up.
You'll do just fine.
And we'll see.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.